Hey
there, Hank. This your girl Dominique LeBlue. I am so glad you are on Anchor. Now I can listen to you while I drive. Anyways, much success. See you around. Bye.
Oh, hey. Didn't see you guys come in. You know it is. It's your boy, Big Tank. Hey, coming at you with an actual live stream. Ooh, it's been hurting me, y'all. It's been hurting me, but I got 4 weeks where I can be live again, and I can actually really talk to y'all. Thank y'all for hanging in there with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're watching this rerun, thank you for coming through. Thank you for coming through. But you know what time it is. In the fishy den, we got Mr. Bob Steenfort. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He fell through. He's going to enlighten us a little bit on what he's got going on right now and moving forward. And I'd like y'all to give him a good little old welcome in. Let me bring him up. Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, man. I'm chilling. I'm chilling. See who we got in the chat before we get rolling. All right. Melvin Reef, what's going on, sir? We got a lot of meat. Mexicali Fish Keeper, what's going on? Jeffrey Watts, what's happening? Welcome in, welcome in. Paul McCarthy, Fish Dreams. Hey, welcome in, y'all. Welcome in, y'all. Hey, make sure y'all share this out, share this out. They like to roll in a little slow. But hey, we're going to get this thing rolling, sir. Give a brief introduction of yourself for those that might not know you that comes into the chat and watch the replay.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And we'll get to where did I get started with fish? I actually kind of progressed from reptiles. So I was reptiles are always my first love. I got into reptiles really young age. And then I started getting into like tropical setups, and of course that's how water got added to some of my setups. And I started thinking, what kind of fish, you know, what kind of fish can I put in these little aquascapes of mine? Because I had anywhere from 10 to 55 gallons, and I was, you know, stacking rocks on the other side for frogs, and over here I'd have water. So I would just go to the pet store and be like, hey, what can I fit? And of course they were just sell me anything, so that always didn't turn out well for the fish. But then I started just kind of researching fish, and back then it was a little bit different. I was subscribed to a reptile magazine. You know, back then we didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
And so then I started looking up like fish magazines and things like that, going to my library at school. And of course, you know, I went through school, went through high school, graduated, and I kind of got out of everything. I stopped keeping reptiles once I started college, you know, fish, everything. And then I was out hiking after, this is like a few years past, I'm out of college now. I started hiking and I came across this little pool that had all these minnows, and it was dried up, and they're literally like flopping around. It's like their last moments of life. So I took my water bottle and I scooped them up. I happened to find a 10 gallon tank in my garage, threw them in there, and then the rest is downhill. I've been back into fish ever since.
So
my plan was just save them. They were I think they were fathead minnows, and I was just gonna save them and just throw them in my parents' pond, because my dad has a pond, and I ended up keeping them. So I was hooked ever since.
Oh man, most definitely. Yeah, other than getting some gambusia, I don't think down here in South Texas we had too much other stuff. Mostly game fish. I didn't know anything about the little darters and stuff like that that were locals, but I had a million gambusia.
Yeah, we don't have much as far as, I mean, we got like a couple species of minnows, and that's about it. Everything else is like trout and bass and perch, and so yeah, not much up here either.
Oh, okay. What is Mexicali ask, Bob, are you done with your car shop?
For the foreseeable future, yes, I will return to it, but I'm, you know, building my house right now, and I just I can't, with the price of lumber, I can't move any of my funds over to my cars at this point. So until my house is done, I'm not going to be doing any car stuff.
Gotcha. I'm going to jump right into it. And it's early, but I'm going to jump right into it. And we don't have to dwell on it long, but I want to know, Lasiak is being beat to death, but just in your perspective as a hobbyist, how will it affect you personally?
If it passes, it'll affect me because I do have a partnership with like Dan's Fish, and I've been working with him, and it could potentially like just shut him down. Like everything he's worked for over the last couple of years, like it could just be over, right?
Right.
You know, and that's one level of it. You know, I have my wholesale and import permits too, so I wouldn't be able to do that either. And I think it would just turn to, I don't know, there's just too many what ifs. Like, we don't know what fish are going to get banned. We don't know, like, you know, what gets imported at X amount is still legal, but what is the X amount? We don't know.
Yeah.
So if is it just going to be neon tetras and guppies and, you know, everything they sell at Petco and PetSmart? Is that what we're going to be restricted to? If so, I'm not going to last in the hobby very long. To be honest, if I can't get like new species of rainbow fish, no species of Lake Tanganyika is getting imported enough to make it into the Lacey Act. And, you know, those are my second favorite fish. I don't know that I would leave the hobby. It would just make it a lot more difficult. Like, we would definitely have to try to build a community around captive bred fish and keep them going. You know, we have lost some fish here in the States that people still breed in, like, Europe. And, you know, we just have to be more aware of, well, maybe we shouldn't let this line die out of old age, because I might be the last person in the U.S. to have this specific fish. So, I don't know. We'll have to come up with something to be more aware of what we're breeding and keeping.
It might become like a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
I sure hope not. Over some rare endlers or something, you know? It could get crazy. I don't know what's gonna happen. It could get really crazy though.
Yeah. I like to ask that to get people's individual perspective. You know, we've been doing a lot of broad paintbrushing, you know, but individually, you know, because looking back on a lot of the locally bred stuff, to an extent, because I have no idea, you know, I have no idea, because my fish excursions don't go beyond my little fish room and to the local LFSs. So what the actual fish farms and stuff, wholeheartedly, what is it that they actually breed, you know, to what details, you know, would it include some of the stuff that we import? How much of it do we have here? You know what I'm saying? That I'm clueless of. So,
yeah, and there's farms like Seagrass Farm, I think, is just breeding neon tetras by the millions. So, you know, we probably won't lose anything like that, but it's definitely going to be more of the rare stuff, the stuff that you don't find at Petco and PetSmart, that's going to be very limited.
Gotcha. All right. So rolling forward, right now, what are you, for the people, what are you holding in your fish room right now that you find and near and dear to your heart?
I have a few species of rainbow fish. I have some Amari, some Sicaray, and some Blahera. If anyone who knows rainbow fish, they'll know who those are. But there are strains that came from Gary Lang, so those I'll probably never get rid of. Everything else is, they're just community tanks, so it's just community fish. It's hard for me to get attached to community fish. You know, I buy 30 tetras and, you know, I can't get attached to all of them.
No naming. Okay. Oh, that's cool. So on your moving forward, are you or have you thought about a physical brick and mortar storefront? Because I mean, you know, we're doing a lot of online, utilizing the online services. What are your feelings about an actual physical storefront in these days and times? Barring the Lacey Act or anything like that.
So I've always thought about it, and honestly, so the problem is, I've professionally worked in retail for, I don't know, like 10, 15 years. I have no idea. And it really made me get tired of customer service. And so I've kind of always wanted to open my fish door just so I could say, you're wrong, or tell people no, you know, like, no, you cannot have one of everything. It's like you go to Petco and they're like, oh, one of those, one of those, one of those. And no one says anything.
Right.
So, you know, I would probably be nice about it, you know, try to educate. But that would be one of my main reasons for opening a brick and mortar, is just to educate. But I imagine that if I did, I'd probably get an employee, and then I probably wouldn't work there as much. I think it would be fun, though. I think it'd be fun. I think there's, you know, I think you can make a living doing it. I think there's a lot of stores that are not doing it right, and that's why we see a lot of LFSs go under. But the blueprints out there to be successful. There's many successful LFS stores that are, you know, doing really well. So that's what you imitate. A lot of people imitate the ones that are failing for some reason. And I'll never figure out why. I'll never figure it out. But I think it would be fun. I was going back and forth, and I started my own online shop instead of getting into like a long lease and things like that. And I think that was a good learning experience. I would recommend doing that first. If anyone wanted to open a brick and mortar, I would say start an online shop first. It's basically free, and free advertisement through social media, so there's not much startup cost, and you'll really get your foot in the door with some wholesalers. And then if you want to go forward, then open the brick and mortar. But for me, when I was selling fish online, like, there was no need for me to ever open a brick and mortar, because I was already selling, you know, as many as I could ship myself a day. So,
gotcha. So would you say the blueprint would be more focused on hardscape and dry goods?
Well, you definitely have to know your market, for one. And I think community fish is kind of the way to go. We have a lot of stores get hung up on like the bigger Central South American fish, where, you know, they maybe sell one because, you know, this fish is going to get this big, right?
Right.
So the person's only going to buy one for their tank, or you can get them to buy 200 fish for the same size tank, right?
Gotcha.
And your ticket sales are going to go up. Your average ticket sale will go up. And, but if you're in an area, there are a few areas where like monster fish is it. There's a lot of places on the East Coast where, African cichlids is it.
Yep.
Oh, you definitely have to know where you're at, what your market's like, but yeah. That's kind of what I mean by blueprint, I guess.
No, it makes sense. Makes perfectly good sense. Like in a lot of our LFSs down here are geared towards monster fish, but I can't really even say what the climate is, you know, what is really being requested. Petcos and stuff like that thrive here. They definitely do. But our actual LFS is actually hanging there also. And they do pretty good at teaching, directing, good deals, bringing in good fish. But yeah, they do pretty good.
I think a lot of, like, if I was to open my store, I would probably, I would sell fish food and maybe a few chemicals and filters. But I go into local fish stores and I just see like walls of hardscapes, and not like supplies. I'm talking about like equipment, chemicals, things that are always way cheaper on Amazon. And yeah, you'll have your core people that will buy and spend more money. But when you can't even get a product and sell it, when your wholesale is more expensive than Amazon's retail, I think that's all wasted space. And I think you should have probably more fish tanks than be selling fish, stuff that you can't get from big online retailers.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Because when I got wholesale list, I was like, Are you kidding me? Like, this filter sells for $20 on Amazon and you want me to buy it for $32 wholesale? Like, how do you expect that to work?
Yes, what would be the, oh my God, the markup, that would be atrocious. Cause I mean, and definitely no win, not a win, lose, not a lose. I mean, it's just, oh yeah, not a mess.
And you can negotiate, you can get volume discounts. But again, so you buy enough of them to maybe get that filter for 20, then you're matching Amazon at 23. So you're taking up this whole aisle for $3. But when you count in like employee wages, power, you're still not making anything. But if you would have filled that same aisle with more fish tanks and more fish, I think you would be doing a lot better job.
Gotcha. Mr. Kelly, all I have locally is a PetSmart in LFS. I have to drive 3 hours either way to San Diego, California, or Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, well, if I could do it, I would put my LFS like right next door to a PetSmart or Petco, because I'm gonna outsell them all day long on just fish. They'll get all the dog food and cat food, sure, but I will outsell them. I'll get all the traffic that people, you know, that Petco brings in. So you can't be in the same complex because they'd make you sign like leases, and you know, when they move in, they make the building owner say no pet store. So you'd have to be like across the street or something, but I would be as close as I could.
That would make a lot of sense. Goes here in Houston, it's like almost every corner. You know how they used to say, you know, hood, you got churches and liquor stores. Well, here, almost every corner, you got an LFS. So we have access. We have access. And for them to thrive like they do, it's surprising, but they do. It's a real big market here for filling aquariums. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, it's beautiful for me to be in a place like this. So what do you think as far as your, I'm jumping around a little bit, aquashellas and things of that nature. Looking at the fish hobby, what do you think they're making the fish hobby more popular at this point?
I think it's beneficial. So I've never been to an aquashella, but I've been to plenty of fish shows in general. And so the aquatic experience, for one, failed because they never embraced creators. Now, whether you like YouTubers or hate YouTubers, and I'm not trying to be like arrogant or whatever, but YouTubers have a following. And so when we went to the aquatic experience and we're like, hey, we have, you know, if you're willing to work with us, you know, we'll advertise for you and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we hate YouTubers here. And so that first year we did it, like nobody showed up. And then we had the second year we advertised it. I think it was the second year. We were like, whatever, we're just going to say that we're going. We're going to get our own booth anyways. And so that's when like FishTube started. And there, I remember there was a line on the FishTube booth, like all the way around the event. And like the other vendors were complaining that our line was blocking their booths. And so I think no matter what, if you're going to do a fish show, you have to embrace creators because they do bring an audience. And I think YouTubers bring way more people to the hobby than those conventions. But I still think the conventions are very important for sure.
Gotcha. I would agree with that. We got a question from Derek's Reptiles here. High C question. Mr. Bob, if you could sell any celebrity or fish, who would it be and why?
Ooh. Well, that would take some strategizing. Because it would have to be a female and I'd have to make sure she was single. And you know. I don't know. That would take some serious strategizing. But all jokes aside, like if I got to pick, it would be Michael Jordan. Like there's no one. Like that's my pinnacle.
Okay.
All jokes aside.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm trying to find a way to get some of these guppies to some celebs, you know. I'm pressing them on Instagram, you know.
That's how you do it. Like I've actually done a fair amount of research on celebrities with fish tanks, and I've tagged them, and I've been down that road too.
Right. Hey, so what do you prefer in your tank, substrate wise?
Oh, really? It really depends. So I basically have planted rainbow tanks or Lake Tanganyikan tanks. So it's either gravel for my plants or sand for my Lake Tanganyikans.
Gotcha.
And as far as planted tanks, if I can afford EcoComplete, I would do EcoComplete. But, you know, like in my 300-gallon, I can't use EcoComplete. That would be like $600. So I'll mix it. I'll just go to a landscaping shop and get some pea gravel and mix in a little EcoComplete.
Gotcha. Central Valley Ventures, what's going on? So, if you could change anything right now in the trajectory of the hobby, what would you change?
Oh, I'd get rid of the Lacey Act.
Well,
got it. That's an easy one.
Got it.
I hope to be in a position one day where I could call up Petco or PetSmart and say, stop putting these stupid, what you can put in fish tank stickers on the side of your tanks. You know, the little 10-gallon tanks, and they're like, oh, we can do a goldfish or this or that. And I think that it just does so much harm to the hobby. Like, they're not good at promoting long-term care and being successful in fish tanks. So I would really love to see that culture change.
Gotcha. I'd have to find a way to stop them from having the betters out there in these little cups. Oh my God.
Before I moved, I actually established a pretty good relationship with my local Petco and the crew there. And one day I walked in and they had put a betta in a bowl by the register. And I was like, that's got to go. it was not even like a 10-gallon bowl. It was like the smallest bowl they sell. And I'm like, that's not good. That's not good. And so we kind of, I talked to the manager, not being a Karen, you know, I just happened to be friends with the manager. And I was like, this is probably not a good idea. We're kind of sending the wrong signal here. And she was like, yeah, I didn't okay that at all. We'll take it down.
Okay, that's cool. Now, what, again, barring the Lacey Act, because I wish that would just disappear myself. Out of the fish that we can't get here, which ones, and I put an S on that, because it may be plural, which ones you would love to see in your fish room?
So I'm not a huge monster fish person, but if I could get my hands on a 24-karat Asian arowana, I would probably do it. There's my one exception to having a big tank with just one fish, and I might do other fish in there too. But I absolutely love that fish.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. I settle for golden one to kill it fish. You know, it's like if I close one eye, say, hey, I got a gold arowana.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Phoenix fish. Look at your binoculars.
Yeah, right. Oh, I see y'all talking about snakeheads over there. Yeah, I do like them myself.
See, I would not be okay with snakeheads. I don't think there's not a lot of people that can house a 3 or 4 foot or larger, 6 foot fish.
You have something that get pretty decent in size.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be okay with that one.
Okay. Oh, they're talking to each other. All right. Now, if TV show wise, did you enjoy the shows that used to be on where they built the fish tanks?
No. The only one that I know of is Tanked, and I didn't really enjoy that show.
Let me see.
I know a lot of people did, but I don't know. A lot of the, the themes, I'm not into the big extravagant themes. I'm more of natural aquarium myself. And also when you hear about the after effects of everyone's fish dying as soon as the show left and Like Roman Atwood's tank, he actually had to sign a non-disclosure that he's not allowed to talk about how terrible of a job they did on his fish tank. Whoa. He actually had to hire a completely different company to come out and fix everything the tank did. So yeah, there's a lot of, like, if you actually read about what happened to the aquariums after the fact, but I think they definitely were good for bringing more people to the hobby, obviously, though. Like, gotta give them credit for that.
There was one right before Tank called Fish Tank Kings.
Oh, I remember. Okay. Yeah.
And I actually liked it better.
I think I saw one episode of that one where they turned, like, someone's pool into a big fish tank.
Fish Tank Kings. It was pretty good, no? And it didn't stay around too long. I think Tank came in and, like, But I actually enjoyed it. As far as what is your perfect size fish tank?
Realistically, 125 gallon, but I'm probably just like everyone else where I want bigger and bigger and as big as I could ever get one day. Like, my dream size would be like 3 feet tall, 3 feet front to back, and like 14 feet long. Just like a really long tank. And I think that would be amazing.
What would you put in it?
Oh, I would do community tanks or community
okay,
fish.
Okay.
For sure. Like smaller community fish, rainbow fish. There's just something about a few hundred fish swimming in a school that's so fascinating to me. And to have a tank where you could have a couple species of 200 plus fish schooling around, I think would be amazing.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot because it seems like people are afraid of them. Or they just assume, you know, when you get a large tank, you're supposed to put large fish in it. But I'm a nano guy. And I would like to see a huge tank with a bunch of little bitty fish. Yeah, I'm down with you on that one.
Exactly, because every time you go to it, you're going to see something new. Like, it's like whether it's shrimp or fish or snail, whatever you put in there, catfish, you know.
And you would definitely sit there a long time.
Yep. Yep.
Most definitely. So what would you say is the biggest change that you have seen? Twofold. Biggest change you have seen in the fish genre on YouTube, and what has been your biggest change from when you first started to now?
So I think, like, when I first started getting on YouTube, it was like large fish, monster fish, and African cichlids kind of dominated. And I think it's kind of shifted now to where it's nano and planet tanks and shrimp and community tanks. Because there's not a lot of just cichlid, African cichlid channels anymore, where there used to be a billion of them, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I think that's the biggest shift I see now. Obviously, you know, we have a massive influx of channels, which is awesome. Technology is making it just super easy now to share your fish tanks and share your knowledge. So that's another huge change in YouTube, because there used to, I mean, what, like 7 years ago, there was maybe what, like 10 fish tubers. So I think the advances in technology making it easier for everyone, I think, is a really good thing too.
Gotcha. How do you feel about, what do you think of the, I'm going to go out and catch these fish and put in these tanks on camera, guys? The big fish, the big channels that do, you know, I'm just trying not to say, you know, names and stuff, but.
So I call them the Florida idiots, and I don't want to get you or your channel in trouble, but that's what I refer them to as, the Florida idiots that just. A lot of those are staged, and they've been proven to be staged. So I don't really like that. It's like a lot of the reality shows are staged, which, you know, that's why I never really got into Tanked. And it's not really Tank's fault. It's all reality shows. Like, they create fake drama just for TV. And a lot of these YouTubers are doing the same thing. There was a reptile channel. I wish I could remember the name, where they're going around. They're like, we're catching big snakes in the wild. And they just took the same snake and just placed it all over and caught the same one. And, like, there's this big expose video where, like, look, this snake has the exact same marking in all these videos. And I think they're doing a lot more harm than good. Generally, I'm in the boat of like, if it's bringing people to the hobby, okay. And obviously they're getting lots of views and you know, lots of people are watching. But when you watch someone go out and catch like 200 fish and immediately you set up an aquarium and throw them in, like, that's not a good thing, you know? Yeah.
And we know it's not. Then you have to ask yourself, well, is it editing? I mean, what, you know, but the perception is reality, and that kind of hurts the hobby in a sense for those people that are just like, hey, I'm just now seeing this. I want to get a tank. Is it that easy? You know, not one beneficial bacteria made, you know.
Yeah. And there's definitely times. I mean, there are occasions when you definitely don't need to cycle your aquarium to add fish. But when you're talking large amounts of fish, I mean, a situation like though you wouldn't need to cycle is like one betta fish in a heavily planted like 10-gallon aquarium. Like, the betta is not going to pee enough to create bad water conditions. The plants are just going to soak up the ammonia faster than it could pee out ammonia. So do you really need to cycle that aquarium? Probably not. But that's not what a lot of these people are doing, right?
Right. No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, fish dreams, do what's right. Let's teach that. Yeah, I agree with that totally. I agree with that. So I'm going to ask you a off-the-cuff question because I like to see what people have in their pantries. What is your favorite snack?
Chips, for sure. Do I have a favorite chip? Right now, I'm really geeking out on these Tim's Cascades. Got a couple new flavors of chips. And then it's probably actually a tie between chips and beef jerky.
Beef jerky.
Yeah.
So is Tim's Cascade regional?
I think it is, actually, now that I think about it. But I don't actually have any around me, but
because I'm a big chip guy, and you kind of perked, you know, I was like, Tim's Cascade, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they might be, because they do a lot of like Sasquatch and Bigfoot stuff, so it might be a Pacific Northwest thing.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I'm a Bigfoot fan, but that's not fish related, among some other things, but yeah, I'm gonna keep that off of here. I'd have to make a whole channel for that, and I'm not ready for that. So what would be your next move? Possibly, you may be turning around in your head, fish wise, in your fish room.
So I'm actually getting ready to bring my 300 gallon tank in my fish room. If you don't know, I had my fish room, I had two fish rooms, and I had to move. So I built another fish room that's way smaller, and I had all my fish tanks in there, and I had to do it in a hurry. So they were just kind of, you know, it didn't look good. So now I tore everything down, and now I'm actually rebuilding it the right way, the way I wanted to. And that includes like a 300. I'm going to have some 40 breeders. I have a double 125 stand, some 20 longs, and it's going to be way less tanks, but they're going to be way better looking. Like, I want them all to be you know, not show tanks, but it's still, you know, nice to look at tanks.
Gotcha. Not like my shrimp tank right there.
Hey, that's how I do all my shrimp tanks, man. I'm telling you. And guppy tanks too, man. If shrimps and guppies in there, and you just throw in all the algae and they go crazy.
Yeah, they loving it. They loving it back there. They are definitely loving it. So have you ever summer tubbed? And if so, what did you have in them?
Yeah, so I have, last year I did Buenos Aires Tetras, Golden White Clouds, which are still out there. They overwintered. Trout Goodiads, and a brine shrimp pond. And the only thing that's left is the brine shrimp pond and the Golden White Clouds. So those make it year round, so I don't pull them out.
Gotcha.
And
soda.
Yeah, I'll be doing it again this year, but I'm gonna do native fish because At the end of the season, I hate trying to catch out fish. It's the worst, especially in a black tub.
So how did the Buenos Aires do? Because I kind of like them.
So they did really well. They actually made it through three freezes where the water completely froze over. And then there was like a freak storm that we had that wasn't like forecasted, that was really cold. And that one took them out. It got down into like the single digits. But they went through the normal winter we usually have. They would have made it just fine.
Gotcha.
And the trout goodies I took out because I knew they wouldn't have a chance.
Okay. Trout goodies. You have to make these look. Trout goodies. Well, those, let me see. Did LR Brits have those in that tank behind? Trout goodies.
That's like, I don't think that he had trout goodies, but he might have. I mean, who knows? That guy had a lot of tanks.
Yeah, he had a lot of tanks.
But I know Mike at Fish Tank Barn, he has some.
Okay.
And they come from Greg Sage, if you know who that is. I'm not sure.
I do.
Yeah, so that's where they came from.
Let me see. I want to say, man, that sounded real for me. It looked like I can remember him doing a video on a pickup. He had done, and some trout goodies, I think, was in the pickup. Was that the local, really, his local meeting, club meeting? Club! Are you a member of any local fish club?
I'm not, actually. We have the Seattle Aquarium Society here. It's pretty far away from me, and they only meet on Tuesday nights at like 7:30, and that's just way too late. They refuse to do meetings on the weekends, which is kind of a bummer, so I'm not a part of it.
Okay. Pepper says those were hill trout. All right.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. He had the hill trout, the royal hill trout. Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you there, Pepper. What's going on? Let me go back here and see. And I've been doing these pre-records for so long. You know, hey, chat, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Let me run back and go through right quick over here. Okay. Fish Tropics, what's going on? Fish Dream, Derek's Reptiles, what's going on? Welcome in. Peplet Creek, thank you for coming in, sir. It's a Fish Dream. Mexicali, Ricky De Hoyos, what's going on? Phoenix Fish, Central Valley Adventures, what's going on? Jeffrey Watson, I'll holler at you. Nola's Dolls and Aquatics, welcome in. Aqua Garden Zen, thank you for stopping through. Ginger Grumble, it's a new name there. ABC Aquatic Biotope Creations, welcome in. Warrior Planet Tank, Steve Rollins. Mad Cat, 61207. Welcome in. Rob's Aquarium Room, welcome in. Melvin Reef, I missed a lot of people. Sorry, y'all. Vanotsky, Fish Koto, Liquid Zoo, OnlyFans. Welcome in. Mississippi Hippie, what's going on, man? What's going on? Glad to see you in the house. All right. So, when you, because I was going back to the tubbing. What's your direction, or what is it that you're actually wanting to do when you set your tubs? What is the end game?
I thought I lagged out for a second, but I guess I'm still here.
It a little bit, and then it kept going.
All right, I'm still here. So my goal is to just, I'll only do fish that will colony breed, just because that's way easier in a tub. And then my goal is to just make as many by the end of the summer as possible. I don't know how it's going to change this year, because like I said, I only want to do native fish that can handle the cold weather. So it's going to be a lot of fish I've never kept before, like darters. I've kept rainbow shiners before, but I want to get back into rainbow shiners. But I think it's just going to be mainly shiners and darters, and I'll have to actually do some research on how to breed them, but that's going to be the goal this year.
Okay, on your rainbow shiners. Jeffrey Watts there in the chat, I think he had rainbow shiners. How do you breed rainbow shiners?
So those are just an egg scatterer. So my tubs are 300 gallons, so I'm not too worried about them eating their own eggs. They'll pick off a couple, but I'll definitely have like big rock piles for the eggs to fall into where the fish can't get to them. And then all my tubs have crazy amounts of plants and algae. So it's not going to be the most efficient way to breed them. Obviously, you know, creating a like something to catch the eggs and removing them is going to give you the highest yield. But that's not how I breed my fish. So I'm sure I'll end up with quite a few more than what I had. But yeah, just treat them like any other egg scatterer. You got to protect the eggs and the parents. They don't have any parental guidance over their eggs or fry, so they will eat them. So you just got to prevent that from happening.
Gotcha. Hippie John, welcome in. Welcome in. So the Buenos Aires tetra, did they actually breed well for you in the?
Oh yeah, they bred like crazy. I had so many generations of fry and adults in there by the end of the year. I actually might try them again. Just because they are a beautiful fish. They actually get really big too, for a tetra. And they look really good from the top down, so they're really good for a tub. And yeah, I would highly recommend them for a tub. Not a small tub though. Like I said, they do get bigger than you realize. But like a 100 gallon or larger tub, they'd do great.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I had a few and I passed them off to a couple of my buddies that's over here in the chat. I actually had some get pretty good size, and they were running through plants, eating up all the plants and stuff, and it was like, oh man, what am I, you know, how can I facilitate this, you know? And I'm talking about 20 long, so of course, listening to you, that wasn't even, you know, in the discussion. Would you think it would be better?
I had them in my 300 gallon tub. And then, like I said, there's so many plants and algae in there that they could never get rid of it.
Gotcha. And would you think they do better as a breed, well, strain specific only, like just them and not sharing it with anything else?
So I had them in with, I did have them in with another fish. What was it? Hawaiian platies. And the platies never bred, so which is pretty unusual. So they might have been breeding, and then just, you know, the tetras could have been eating them, which is surely possible. But I never saw any fry from them. So I don't know. They might be better as species only because they do get big and will eat fry. But it's weird to me that the Buenos Aires tetra, like they're fry were surviving, so if the platies were breeding, why would they only eat the platy fry? That makes sense to me. So I think they're just a little bit too boisterous and kind of wacky, and they kind of probably stressed out the platies, and I don't even think they were breeding.
Yeah, they go hard in that. It's, they kind of remind me of Zebra Daniel, if you have enough of them in a tank, especially when they're trying to breed, and then you get a big Buenos Aires is doing the same thing. Yeah, I think it might stress out anything that was in there. That's for real. Now I'm gonna steer off a little bit. I have to touch the reptiles that you have. I have to. I know, Chad. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. You know, I explained the big tank, Hank, not big tank Hank's aquatics. You know, I'm all about fitting it in a tank. You know, tell us about what lizards you have, and if you actually ever bred them, or they're just pets.
So I have Europlatis sicarae, which are leaf tail geckos, mossy leaf tail geckos, and I've bred them in the past, and I recently just got a young pair about 5-6 months ago. So when they're old enough, I will breed them. Because I love them. The leaf-tailed geckos are my favorite lizard of all time. And then I got some helmeted chameleons that are also breeding. Those I got more for pets, but Turns out they're kind of like guppies, so they just go at it. And that's all I have right now. I do have a snake, but it's been shipped off to try to breed. And that's a carpet python. And that was like a year ago, so I don't know if I'm ever getting her back. That was actually 2 years ago. So that's interesting. I should probably check in on that one of these days.
Yeah.
But I've kept just about everything. Tegus, monitors, snakes, frogs, newts, salamanders. Yeah, so much.
Gotcha. What's your favorite African thicker?
Lake Tanganyika and Cyprochromis.
Okay.
Yep. The sardine cichlid, as some people call them.
What do they call them?
Sardine cichlids.
Sardine cichlids. I've not heard of sardine. I'm like, sardine?
Yeah, because they look sardines. They look like little sardines. You know, they're long and skinny.
Okay. They school around.
They're really active. They school around well, so, and they're super colorful.
I have a question there with some laughing faces. Big Tank, hey, you have a question. Do I dye my beard? What part? The black part? I mean, what? I just turned 50. I turned 50 on the 6th of this month. So, you know, I think I've naturally acquired this, you know.
Right, I got like a little white patch.
That's what I'm talking about, man. You know what I'm saying? And this, I got one right there on my mustache. So, you know, no, that's natural right there.
All natural.
All natural. When they, at my place of employment, you know, decided that now that the workforce is declining, they're going to allow us to grow facial hair. Hey, that's all I needed to hear. I work in corrections.
Ah.
Yeah, they're trying to hold on to us, some of us, though.
Yeah, now you got the power.
Yep, right? Exactly. But I say it too loud. Someone may be in here.
You got all the leverage now.
Man. All right. So what do you do for your day job?
This is my day job now.
Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about. So I quit my job in the fall of 2019 and started my online fish business and YouTube. And then the world shut down in March. And it's just been YouTube because we couldn't import fish or anything. So that kind of went away. Like my online fish business kind of went away. And so, yeah, it's just pretty much YouTube now.
Okay. That would be wonderful over here. Staying true to it. Casual Aquatic says, what do you think has been your biggest challenge in the hobby?
Definitely breeding. There's some fish that have given me troubles. I'm trying to think if there's anything, not specific fish, but any other. I mean, there's definitely been challenges, but I think the two biggest would be breeding and actually finding the fish that I want. There's some fish that I've been after for a very long time and still haven't gotten, and that's been kind of frustrating, but yeah, like my zebra plecos, I couldn't get to breed for the life of me. You know, I spent like $1,000 on a colony of zebra plecos, had them for like 2 years, and the stupid things just wouldn't breed, and finally I got fed up and just sold them.
I heard that it was hard, you know, to breed them. I've seen a lot of people get them, and then it's like, I have them. They're beautiful, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and there's people that breed them like they're bristlenose plecos, and then there's people like me that just I couldn't hack the code. I couldn't figure it out.
Griffin, what's going on? Oh, Warrior Planet Texas got a lamb on the grill over there. People are trying to request some. You shipping? Oh, my fault. We're in the same city. Ah. What's been up, Griffin? What's been up? Cactus Woo Man, welcome in. A Cactus Woo Man? What is it?
I say Woo Man.
Woo Man? Cactus Woo Man. Okay. Woo Man. All right. So what do you indulge in your free time when you get some on YouTube?
So I really don't watch a lot of FishTube anymore. Now that that's pretty much, it takes up so much of my time, like on my free time, I do want to watch other stuff. And right now I've actually been doing a lot of like watching a lot of off-grid, like homesteading type of stuff. Because that's basically what I'm doing now, so.
Oh, okay. I get a lot of them on my timeline.
Yeah, it's pretty popular right now, and I watch a lot of solar stuff too, because I'm going to be getting into solar as well.
Okay. Don't completely disappear now, don't you?
I definitely won't, but it's like, you know, they say mechanics have the worst cars. Like, I love fish, but I can't work on my fish and film videos and then all day long and then sit down and let's watch some fish videos.
Right, right.
But there, I do make time to like sit down and just like try to like purge through a lot of videos just so I can stay caught up with everyone. But gotcha. It's not as often as I would like.
Yeah, it's getting a little hard for me. I used to be, I was at home injured and a few other things at one point. And now it's like schedule change and 12-hour days and oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, it can be hard to keep up.
Casual Aquatic says, do you have a favorite exotic fish?
So it is my bucket list fish that I've never kept, and it's the Benthochromis trichoti, which is out of Lake Tanganyika. But that is the one. If I could ever find those for sale. There's one time they came for sale, one time. And I just, at the time I wasn't in a position, because they're about $200 a fish. And they're a schooling fish, so of course you gotta buy, you know, you can't just buy one. And now it's like, I'll go open a credit card somewhere and buy them if they ever come for sale. I'm not missing on them again.
Ah, I hate. So have you ever been into betters? And most, as far as I am, I really love wild betters. So have you ever been into betters, period? But mostly wild betters in any way, shape, or form?
So I did get the betta bug a few years ago, but that was way before, I guess it would be like, I don't know, 5 years ago, when there was like maybe two types of wild bettas available. The amount of wild bettas available now is just insane to me compared to just 5 years ago. So I haven't really done a lot with wild bettas, but I've definitely kept bettas. And at one point I had like 20-ish bettas floating around my fish room.
Gotcha. Yeah, I kind of like some of the more hard to source, like the Antuta. It's a larger wild betta. It reminds me of like a macrostoma, but it's blue. You have some blue versions, some green, close to emerald green, but not quite that dark versions. There's some red, but you very seldom see them. But they remind you of the macrostoma.
Yeah, I definitely like the wilds more. Like crown tails used to be my favorite, and now I just. If you go back to my channel, like when I first started live streaming, I was like, I'm never getting a betta fish, ever. Never gonna do it. And I said that for years. And then one time I saw this crown tail and I was like, this fish is amazing. I have to buy it. And then boom, I had like 30 bettas within like 3 months. And so that's kind of why I'm staying out of wild bettas, because I know as soon as I buy one, the same thing's gonna happen. And I'm just gonna go crazy and buy like every wild betta I could ever see, ever find, you know?
And see, the good thing about them, if you get let's say your mouth brooders that actually you can colony, you know, breed, it's a wonderful thing. When you're dealing with them splendors, man. Oh, you know, I was a better breeder for about that long, you know, and it was like, hey, all right, I'm putting them together. Success, guys. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, now. Okay. Hey, Jeffrey Watts, you got some juice jars over there, you know? I come through and pick them up. Yeah, I still really like them. That's why You know, I mentioned early on about them being in the little cups, but yeah, I'm not gonna allow myself to be sucked in, you know, again. Yep. Casual Aquatic says, what's your go-to fungal treatment?
Just salt. Clean water and salt.
That's me.
I used to carry like every single medication. And then I went down to like maybe 3 to 5 different types of medication. And now I just like salt just seems to work. I don't know.
Yeah. Cactus Woo Man, what can I do for a fish that had some scales ripped off by another fish? Salt again, but I'm going to let Bob give his idea.
I mean, I would just isolate it. So put it in a quarantine tank. Honestly, I don't even know that I would use salt. Maybe at the start, like preemptively to make sure it doesn't get any type of fungus, but I would just, like, it's amazing what just clean water and good food will do to a fish. Like, you put it by itself so it's not stressed out, keep the water clean, and they can pretty much recover from just about anything, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Because Cactus Woo Man, I have a guppy right back here. I might need to move my phone so you can see it. I had these crawfish, long story, and I was eliminating slowly the crawfish, and I had one do this like a James Bond climb from the outside from a critter keeper into the 50-gallon tote that I have in my garage, and he ended up back in the tote. And then I go out there, my male guppy is like, he has one little piece of his tail on the bottom side that was left. But he was swimming, you know, he was still swimming well, so it didn't get, I guess it didn't, he got away before it tried to eat him, I guess, you know. So he's back here recouping. But he never was, you know, injured other than the tail being pulled off. That sounds crazy. Pulled off.
The whole story sounded crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the crawfish dude. When I tell you,
you got a crawfish doing like parkour across your fish room.
He got out. I mean, the top of the tote, maybe 10 inches down. The critter keeper, I mean, so he had to go up the 10 inches. Somehow he got out of the critter keeper. Now, there was no top on it, but still, he got out of the critter keeper and went up the side of the tote. And I went all around to try to see if there was something else that he could have climbed up. Never found out. We don't have a cat or anything that goes back there that would, you know, maybe caught on to him and then, you know, flipped on to the cat's back and then ran down his spine and jumped off, you know, his head or something. You know, I couldn't tell what happened, but it got in there. I put him in a 125-gallon community. He's the biggest besides the two. Oh, no, that's some other story altogether. I thought we were still talking about the same thing. Them crays pop them tails, they shoot. Oh, okay. Jeffrey Washington's like, maybe he popped, because he was big. It was a big one. Maybe, like, you know how they, hey, I don't, that's still some flying, man. That's it. That was still some flying, but hey, it could have been possible. Oh my goodness. So, who did you have any inspirations when you first started doing YouTube? I know you said how there was a small number of fish tubers, but who was your go-to?
Well, it was Corey from Aquarium Co-op that got me really started into YouTube.
Okay.
And like, I had watched others, but I was never like, oh, I'm gonna start my own channel. It wasn't until I started watching Corey and actually hanging out and you know, that's probably, you know, just hanging out with him in real life and talking YouTube, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Always a plus to have access. Always a plus.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky that he was local.
Yeah. Oh, it's a plus, because I could just imagine if I had been local, you know, with it.
But I was talking to him even before he started his YouTube channel. It happened like my work was used to be right by Aquarium Co-op, and one day I was bored at work and I was just searching pet stores, and I'm like, oh, Aquarium Co-op, what's that? And so I went over there, and this is back when he was like the only employee there, so he was always there, and we just kind of struck up a conversation, and that's kind of where it went.
Okay, that's very cool right there. All right, what would you say is your favorite genre of music?
Ooh, that's tough. Oh man, it kind of depends on what kind of mood I'm in at that particular time. So this answer could change, but you know, I'm an 80s kid, so I love 80s music, whether it's 80s pop or 80s rock. I love 70s rock. I love classical. Those are probably like my go-to. And then, like, I don't know, probably like mid-90s rap. I was really into that, and so like I like that still, just out of nostalgia. Like Tupac, things like that. That's probably like my go-to stuff right there, but it's kind of all over the place, but yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. Cousin came in. What's going on? 80? 80 what? All right, Casual Aquatics. Okay, Casual Aquatics says, do you have a bucket list fish, or have you pretty much owned everything you would like to?
Yeah, my bucket list fish is the Benthochromis trichoti that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, that you talked about earlier.
And
yeah.
I have the a painting of one here. So this is what it looks like. I don't know if you can see that. There you go.
Yes. Okay.
And so I like it so much that I bought a painting of one. So I've never, like I said, they run about $200 a piece when you can find them. And in the 7 or 8 years that I've been on YouTube, I've only seen them available once, so they're kind of rare.
Okay, you see Cactus Woo Man, smash that like button. Favorite car?
What's that?
Favorite car?
Mustang. And it's all again, like nostalgia. When I was a kid, my neighbor had a Fox Body Mustang, and he put all this money into it, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so I've been obsessed with Mustangs ever since. I love like the like a 73-ish body style Camaros. I'm definitely about, I love older cars more than newer cars for sure.
Gotcha. Mine was, let me see, was it a Chevy? I don't know if it was a 57 Chevy, but it was the one. No, that wouldn't be 57. It had the big, the trunk area was like rolled. And it had, you know, the, I think some of them had a hard top, but you had a bench seat, you know, sit maybe two people. And the motor on front end was either completely out, or it had where you could open, flip the little sides up.
Oh, okay.
It had the little tires in the front.
30 something Chevy Roadster or something like that. I don't know.
Cause I don't know. It was real big. Like on I guess like with the Greece. Looks like somebody had one in Greece they was riding in.
I can picture the car, but I can't picture the name. Like, the name's not coming to me.
Oh, and you know what? That wasn't a trunk. It was a seat.
Yeah, the seat flips out.
Yeah, that was a seat.
Yeah.
A 50, hey, Chet, hook us up. 54
Chevy, maybe?
Yeah, why? It was a hot rod, but, like, what? What was it? I think it was a Chevy. Because I know that 57, I really liked that 57, but this was, you know, I'm going back from the Max Box car days. You know, I had like this this huge collection. My son actually has a bunch of them now, but, and I do not remember what that car was.
Yeah, I love
that
cars.
That would be my favorite.
I definitely love cars, but I'm not like the biggest car junkie out there, so but I definitely appreciate them and love them.
Gotcha. Yeah, I grew up, I'm out now. Well, I'm in the city now, I'm in Houston, but I grew up in this little town outside of Houston. 3,000 people. Well, a big pastime when I was growing up was, you know, those older guys, you know, would build these race cars, but they would have the 70 something Chevelles and Camaros and Mustangs, and you just sit around and watch them fly up and down the road and race each other. And, you know, they didn't have wrecks back then. You know, they're crash cars now.
Well, nowadays they're just so expensive. It's a hard hobby to get into these days.
Yeah, yeah. Like fixing the car that you have right now. I can remember Shade Tree, and that's like, oh man, I can't put my own light bulb in. What is that? Well, all right, man. We didn't hit an hour. And I'm going to thank you for coming through.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you very much. But I've been wanting you on for a minute. You know, I try to stay persistent. You know, I looked on, like on my messenger. There's people, which I mean, it's cool. And it surprised me that I actually wait like that, that I have patience like that. But I have some people I'll ask. You know, I'll approach them, and then it'd be like a year later, you know, they're busy, then I'd be like a year later to date almost. And then I ask them again, I'm like, man, I went a whole year and didn't think about it. But yeah, I might need to tighten that time frame up a little bit.
Well, I always say, like, I love going on other people's streams, all you gotta do is ask, but I'm also a pretty hard person to get a hold of, because, like, my property, I don't have signal, so I can't, you know, I can't talk to anybody there, and I don't have... I don't turn on social media on my phone, so I have to be like sitting at a computer. The only time I turn on, like, I'll turn on Facebook Messenger when I stream, because if something goes wrong, my mods will message me. Otherwise, I don't have that on my phone at all. I can't stand it.
Gotcha. Makes it Kelly say he's always liked you. You're a no BS kind of guy.
Well, that's the kind of guy I try to be. It's so much easier.
BS wait. Look, BS wastes a lot of time. BS causes you to have to be around people you don't want to deal with for too long. Mm-hmm. BS causes you to have to keep up with.
I don't have a good enough memory to be a BSer anyways. It's like, yeah, I can't be that person.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in BS. My choice of employment kind of took the BS out of me if I had any, you know, a while back.
Because,
I mean, they don't, you can respect them, you know, and they going to respect you. But BS, oh, man, they going to see it. They going to see it a mile away, and then you have to learn from them how to see when they're coming with it, you know.
Oh, man. I bet you have a lot of stories.
Yeah. A few of them I can't really tell over here, you know.
Oh, man.
But yes, that's a special place to be employed. A fly on the wall is interesting enough there. You don't want to be the one.
Yeah, I used to work at a casino, and the behind the scenes at a casino can get pretty wild. Probably nothing like what you go through, but you see a lot of interesting stuff for sure.
Yeah, I used to have a security company too, a Silverback Protection Team. I did parties, concerts, clubs, just in addition to, you know. So yeah, I've seen a whole bunch of crazy.
Nice.
Jeffrey White said it was a Packer.
A Packer?
A Packer? You sure?
I would have never guessed that.
I thought it was a Chevy version.
I mean,
maybe Packer.
They were pretty big back then. Could have been.
Well, yeah, let's get on up out of here, because I got some dinner to eat.
All right,
and
sir.
And again, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, just appreciate y'all. If you ever want me to come back on, I'm always game. It just might take a while, but I'm always game.
Hey, I ain't got no problem with it. Patience is a virtue.
It certainly is.
All right, everybody in the chat, thank y'all very much for hanging around in here with us tonight. And I am so glad to be back in here with y'all. I'm going to cherish these next 4 weeks now. Because, see, first, when I told them, and then I uploaded my next or the first pre-record, and they were talking in the chat and hollering at me, hey. And then the second time, I'm like, oh, man, I thought I tried to put it everywhere because I didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Like, man, I can't believe he faked us out like that.
Some people probably didn't even know.
I'm like, I don't ignore people like that, you know. But all right, y'all, we're going to get out of here. Crystal, welcome. Thank you for stopping through, ma'am. Thank you for stopping through. Make sure you check out that replay, ma'am. I'll let you alert it. All right, y'all, we out. Y'all right, be good.
See ya.
Tell somebody you love them and take care of those fish. We out. Peace.